a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice.
He's on fire. It's impossible.
Posey will defend. Oh! LeBron James with no regard for human life.
It is Thursday, January 8th, and welcome to the Razzball Basketball Podcast. We want to thank our Fantasy Sports Network listeners for tuning in today. My name is JB Gilpin. I'm here with my trusty co-host, Slim. How are you doing today after a very busy night of NBA action?
Pretty good. I made it through the first half of that Denver game, but I couldn't make it through the second half.
That's late for you. And that game was boring. It's pretty slow.
Yeah, Orlando was terrible. Just terrible.
Man, Denver's not that much better.
No, it was two terrible teams playing.
It was.
Nurkic looked okay in the first half, but... You know,
he didn't play much in the second half.
No, he had 15 minutes and three fouls in the first half, and then only played a 7-minute stretch in the second. Never came back in.
Yeah, he had a couple of those fouls really late in the half too. So it's kind of it's unfortunate.
It was a case of being tired.
Yeah. So we're both obviously huge Nurkic fans. We were really excited to watch his debut last night. I got to tell you, the Denver crowd, that was one of the most lulled crowds I've ever seen for an exciting player making his first start. I think a lot of them were probably even at tip already at the concession stands. They hit the dispensaries a little too hard before the start.
Well, I'm not too surprised.
It was so docile. It was ridiculous. So on tonight's show, we're going to recap last night's action, including Nurkic's debut. We have a very special guest on today, Andy Behrens from Yahoo, a name every fantasy player probably knows. We're really excited to have him on, honored to have him on. We're going to talk fantasy and the Bulls. He is a big Bulls fan there in Chicago. Then we're going to preview Thursday night's games with our final 30-point challenge picks of the week. And then, as we always do on the weekends, we wrap up Thursdays at the movies.
Y'all ready for this?
So, beginning to last night, we've got the Rockets beating the... I don't know. How many Cavaliers are hurt and traded for? And they're terrible. J.R. Smith. Do you see how bad J.R. Smith did? 0-for-5 with two turnovers.
Yeah, he went from not knowing an offense in the triangle to not knowing this offense. So there's going to be a learning curve there.
I'm
not too surprised.
He doesn't know his first name. That's why he had to go to initials. Kyrie Irving, big game. What happened to your PBEV? What happened to the PBEV?
Oh, it's odd. It's like the best game anyone's ever had on him.
I know. Irving shoots 15 for 26 for 38, 2, and 3. Woo! Hit 4 of 8 from downtown. That was a really good game.
Yeah, the assists are low. I mean, Dellavedova led the team in assists.
Ugh.
Yeah, that is the LeBron James place mark.
Ugh. Yeah. You see Tristan Thompson hit 7 of 7 free throws? He had like an over 7 like a week ago.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
He's got to figure out a way to mess you up somewhere, so 2-for-7 field goals. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. That's kind of like the how did Josh Smith hurt you game.
Yeah.
I do that almost every time Josh Smith plays. So on the other side of the ball, 16-5-2-0-2. Really good line. Only two turnovers, hit 7 of 10 shots, but there it is, the 1-for-4 free throws.
Yeah. And I guess he's a 50% three-point shooter now, right? 1-for-2 last night?
In a one-game sample.
Game sample, there you go. Yep, still pretty much splitting minutes pretty evenly with Modi.
Yeah, Modi doesn't do anything.
I'm not thrilled about Josh Smith in the 12-er.
Yeah, I'm still not either. Dwight Howard, this is why we told you not to draft Dwight Howard. He just is... You know, you see 17 and 19, and you're like, woo! But only one block, four turnovers, and 5 for 11 free throws, while only 6 of 13 from the field. So it didn't even help your field goal percentage. He's just brutal some games.
Blocks are way down to about what they were his rookie year. Career low in steals. Right there with his normal Orlando days of turnovers. Yeah, everything is down. I'm glad we avoided.
Me.
He is not a top 50 player, even with punting free throws.
Totally agree. Are you worried at all about Trevor Ariza? He's been really cold from downtown. 3 of 10 last night, so it's good he hit multiple threes. But his steals have just been elite. Another 5 steals last night. It's 14 in the last 3 games. But are you worried about Ariza's shooting stroke and maybe losing shots?
I guess. I mean, he's at 35% for the year. Yeah, I bet you didn't know it was that bad.
It's like Brandon Jennings territory.
Yeah, I mean, he was 45 last year with Washington, so if you drafted him thinking you were getting that, you are highly disappointed.
Yeah, I still love the steals, though.
Oh, yeah. No, they're absolutely elite, and the minutes are more or less guaranteed.
Yeah. I don't know. A lot
sure what a more or less guarantee is.
Yeah. A lot of people...
It's not guaranteed, but...
A lot of people have been asking if they should drop Ariza. Well, not maybe not drop, or just give him up for virtually nothing. I think he's still pretty valuable with the steals.
Oh, yeah, with the steals, he's very valuable. And I'm pretty sure he's still, you know, keeping everything else is still pretty close to what he did last year. I mean, I'm pretty sure the rebounds are there. Yeah, he's still at 6-a-game rebounds. Turnovers aren't terrible.
Mm-hmm.
He's a better free throw percenter than he was back in his, I was going to say Laker days, but I'm looking at this and I don't even know where he went. It was Lakers, Orlando, Houston, New Orleans, New York.
When was he on Orlando? I don't even remember that.
Yeah, it's 07-08.
Back when I was in britches. speaking of britches, the 76ers are awful and have nothing but awful young players. Did you see their leading asset last night was Jakar Sampson in his 24 minutes?
Yeah, he was almost out of the rotation, too.
Yeah, I know. Tony Roten shoots 4 of 19. Michael Carter-Williams shoots 1 of 13. Ugh, Covington shoots 1 of 11.
They were 2 for 25 from downtown.
Oh, this game was brutal.
Yeah, I'm surprised that this was a blowout.
You take anything with the Roten to the Clippers trade talks?
It would absolutely destroy his value, obviously.
Yeah, I mean the Sixers are probably willing to give up anything for anything.
Yeah, I think they would take a second round pick for him.
Really, for Roten though.
He's not. He turns the ball over way too much. He's out of control.
Yeah.
He needs a lot of coaching. And maybe Chris Paul can give it to him.
Maybe Doc and Chris Paul. On the other side of the ball, Zaza Pachulia, another double-double with 7 assists.
The big news here is what happened. Why did Antetokounmpo not play the second half?
I was getting there. Yeah,
Zaza Pachulia.
I was starting with the good and then to the bad. Oh, I want to get people's hopes up with something good and then crush their hopes and dreams. And
crush their dreams, okay.
Well, since you're already crushing their dreams anyway, we'll go with Giannis. And yeah, gets benched for the entire second half for Nate Walters. And then the Bucks just signed Kenyon Martin. I don't know if you saw that. They signed him today. They're probably going to cut Nate Walters.
Nice. They're going to cut Nate Walters for him. Nice. Ugh. That team is all over the place.
Yeah, well, they crushed the awful Sixers.
Kenyon Martin, I don't want him in even the REL.
Yeah, I don't think so either, even though they desperately need big man depth. I think that's the... wow, Johnny O'Brien in 23 minutes had 5 turnovers.
I didn't know he touched the ball that many times.
Oh, yeah, they're desperate for another 20 minutes of power forward. Are you worried at all about Giannis? You think this was just a teaching moment? You know, maybe they held him out with a very, very, slight injury since they were up 20 the whole game? I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about it.
Yeah, there's no real clarity.
Yeah, I haven't heard. I'm still waiting to hear Jason Kidd talk about it.
Yeah, it is something to keep an eye on.
But right this second, no, I'm not making any move based off of that one game.
Yeah, me either. Chris Middleton has a good game. He starts, gets 5 steals. I feel like their shooting guard spot is a different starter every day. It's very frustrating.
Oh, yeah. This is definitely whoever catches fire.
Yep. Ride the hot hand. And speaking of hot hands, how about Nene? Nene with the big game. Every team is just going to have one player that has a random big game against the Knicks because why not? He goes 26-4, hits 8 of 13 against the Knicks. The Knicks are just so bad.
Yeah, but they're going to give us some great stuff.
Yeah.
There's going to be some useful players coming out of this once everything settles down.
Yeah. You know, Langston Galloway plays 17.5 minutes, goes 7-2-3-1-0 without a turnover. You know, only shot 2 of 8, but I don't know. He looks like an NBA backup player to me.
Yeah, yeah. And I like what Larkin's doing, even though he's not taking enough shots. But, you know, everything else looks pretty good. I think he's about ready for that role.
Yeah, if Calderon gets traded, I think Galloway's 16-team worthy.
Yeah, probably. He should get not quite 20 minutes, because I think Larkin gets well over 30.
Yeah, and there's still Prigioni there, too. So
yeah, but I think they're running him more as a two.
Yeah.
Larkin's getting a ton of minutes. I mean, he came off the bench yesterday for 27.5, so he looks pretty set in their rotation.
Yeah.
I love his steals. He is elite steal.
Yeah, another 4 last night. I wish Mr. Clean got more minutes. Clean Anthony Early with only 18 minutes.
Still coming back from his injury.
Yeah.
They were some pretty decent 18 minutes. He made his shots, got a couple of boards. Yeah, yep, I think it's on the rise.
Yep. All right, so to the Pelicans getting beat by the Hornets somehow, Kemba Walker is just going on a tear. 30-plus points in 3 straight. Is he a sell high? You worried about when Jefferson comes back here in 3 or 4 weeks?
You think it's Jefferson that's going to be a problem?
You know, Lance Stevenson's going to come back.
I was thinking.
Yeah, Lance but
dominates the ball. That's the problem with Lance. So, yeah, this is probably a sell-high moment, but you'd have to get a really good player back.
Yeah, I'm liking what he's doing these days. You buying Gerald Henderson for a couple more games until Lance Stevenson's back? Stevenson still doesn't have a timetable. Henderson last night, 16-7-6.
He's had that's a pretty good game for him. His assists. Yeah. I'm shocked the assists have been there.
Yeah, 14 the past 2 games for Hendo.
Yeah. So, maybe. I mean, for now. He's doing good with his free throw percent, which fell off last year. Yeah. That's kind of nice to see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe maturing a little bit at his ripe old age of, he's about 27 now. Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
You know, he looks like he's 40.
He's a bench player, though. He is not an NBA caliber starting shooting guard.
And he had such a good run a couple years ago in the second half when everyone was hurt. I thought he could be a useful player, but he
it's the lack of shooting threes. He's not very good at it. And if you don't have stretch fours and maybe even a 5 that can do it, your shooting guard can't shoot threes. You're going to have trouble scoring the ball.
You're saying Bismack Biyombo's not going to start hitting the trays?
You know, I find myself rooting against him, and I don't like it. I dropped him in my deep league, and I don't want to root against him. I like him.
I know. I like MKG, too, and it was tough for me to trade him. I kind of wish I didn't, looking at last night's line. 13-12-3-1-1. Hits all 5 free throws. 36 minutes. Is he pretty entrenched at 3?
Looks like it.
You worried about Stevenson for him? Because, then they got to feed Henderson minutes. And
yeah, I'm less worried about him about Gerald Henderson.
Yeah. To the Pelicans side of the ball, Eric Gordon with a useful game. It's oxymoronic.
Yeah, multi-cat is oxymoronic also.
Yeah.
He's this is a good one. But I don't think it lasts.
Yeah, me either. Did you see that Drew Holiday has rainbow lines in, I think it was 2 of 3 games and in 3 of the last 7 games?
Yeah, the blocks are odd. I mean, he was a quarter, or, maybe a third of a block for his career. Now he's up. He's almost doubled that this year.
Yeah.
He's a different player this year. He really is.
Yeah, I put it in this morning's article that he's kind of what we thought the best case scenario of Eric Bledsoe was, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, probably. I think for Bledsoe in that many minutes, in 36 minutes, we almost were hoping for a full block.
Yeah.
And I never really thought Bledsoe would get up to 7 assists, so he might be actually outplaying what we were hoping for.
Yeah, maybe you're right. I don't know. I was just throwing that out there, see what sticks.
Bledsoe's more for the free throws, too. And Drew's only, he's at less than 2 a game.
Yeah, so that's true.
Help there.
Bledsoe does a lot of slashing.
Yeah, yeah. Very different player type.
Yeah. Speaking of slashing, the Grizzlies are thinking about getting the slashing Jeff Green in trades. That would kill Jeff Green.
I saw a Luol Deng one, too.
Yeah, both of them are in the mix. Green makes the most sense because I'd imagine the Celtics are willing to trade anyone.
Yeah, and Miami isn't going to give up on their season yet. They have too many veterans that want to win.
Yeah. The Grizzlies lose last night to the Hawks. Nothing too much interesting for the Grizzlies. Really not too much for the Hawks either. I struggled finding anything interesting right about. Tamari Carroll has an eye contusion but comes back in the game. Teague plays well. Horford continues his real up-and-down season.
Yeah, this is pretty much what we've just gotten to expect.
Yeah.
Teague's doing extremely well.
Yeah, he is indeed playing well. Speaking of playing well, you know, it wasn't great, but Tyler Zeller goes 18-6-4 with a steal and a block. It's 7-14-4 free throws. The flip-flops continue with which Boston Celtics center you want to own, as Olynyk had foul trouble and was awful.
But Olynyk's been better, right?
Most of the time. I don't know.
Yeah, he's been off recently. The minutes are not holding right now. It's kind of a problem for Olynyk.
Boston's the most frustrating team in the NBA.
Yeah, I don't really want much to do with either one of them if I can avoid it.
Yeah, and then Solinger, after, you know, he had like a 9-minute game a couple weeks ago. Minutes come back up and he plays well. Now down to 26 last night and was atrocious for 2-6-3.
Ugh. Yeah, it might be a grateful that he got benched.
Yeah, only 1-for-7.
I mean, he's got so many 50% shooting games recently. I mean, maybe he just wasn't feeling it and got benched.
Yep. Speaking of not feeling
26 minutes, considering how terrible he was, he still got 26 minutes. That's
true.
More than he should have gotten, I expect.
That's true. You know, 17.5 minutes is more than Brook Lopez should have gotten last night. He just, like, watched a rolling ball go right past him and didn't even run for it. Boston gets a breakaway layup. Lionel Hollins, after the game, said he was lazy. I put the link of what happened in the article this morning. Goes 6-5-0-0-2 in 17.5 minutes. And it benefits Mason Plumlee. He goes 16-12 with 2 blocks. I'd give Brook Lopez away.
Yeah, somebody wants him, they can have him.
Yeah,
pretty much.
And I'd say, you know, if there's a really bad Plumlee game and Lopez all of a sudden gets a 25-minute game, I'd shoot a really low buy low offer on Plumlee if you need rebounds and blocks.
And yeah, can handle the free throws.
Yeah.
The volume is so high, it's tough. He kind of needs to be on a punt free throw team.
Yeah, I agree with you there. So Jared Jack goes 15-4-4, which is decent, hits a 3. But Darren Williams sounds like this is going to be a lengthy absence after re-aggravating his side injury.
Yeah, but I don't think Jared Jack is really worth it too much. I think 15-4-4 is pretty much what we can expect.
I think he can up that to like 16-17-4-6-7.
Eesh, he's never been a good assist guy. I'm not jumping on the assists.
Yeah, I just think there's no one else that's going to do anything.
Joe Johnson has the ball in his hands a fair amount.
Yeah, he has also the ball breaking off the rim a fair amount.
Yeah, he's not the player he used to be, but he still tries real hard. And he plays a ton of minutes.
Yeah, A for effort.
Yeah, and an F for quality of play.
Yeah. You want to get an A for quality play? It's Rudy Gobert. Whoa! Huge game last night for 11-14. 2 steals and 5 blocks. Just destroyed the Bulls. Maybe when we have Andy on, we don't talk about this game too much with the Jazz beating them by 20 at home.
You know, when the year started, we were both really hoping that Gobert would start and Cantor would come off the bench. You know, maybe that's a possibility.
It could be.
You know, they can go with the, we want to ease Cantor into the lineup kind of thing.
That's
and just stay
true.
With it.
That's true. And, I mean, they did bench him some last year as well, different management. But, yeah, Cantor's probably not going to play again Friday, still dealing with his ankle injury. I threw this out there this morning. Is Cantor to the Jazz what Josh Smith was to the Pistons?
Nah.
Not that bad.
I mean, Josh Smith plays defense and Cantor plays offense. So you're about, like, you know, they are the antithesis of each other.
Yeah. And
put them together and get two different players. One of them can't do anything. The other one would do everything. No, they're a little different.
Yeah, I don't know. I still
think Utah really needs Cantor though. They need his points, especially without Alec Burks.
Yeah,
I'm surprised they scored so many points in this game. Tell you the truth.
I agree with you there. I mean they hit 47.4% for the field. I mean, it's not great, but their defense kept them in the game. Trevor Booker goes 15-8 with an assist and a block and hits a three. Deep league worthy while Cantor's out?
Yeah, while he's out. Yeah. I don't think the minutes will climb too much higher than about this 23-24. Yeah. So the upside is kind of low. But while he's out, yeah, he's a good streamer in a deep league.
And as is typical with my REL matchups, of course, Pete Nice has Booker and Gobert the week Cantor's out.
Nice.
That's how my REL's going. It's pretty unreal, the timing that everything happens every week.
But you're going to win free throws, right?
Yeah. I'm well ahead in free throws. He has Dwight Howard, too. So.
Oh, that too.
So there's at least one category I might win. to the Bulls, I mean, even when they're terrible, Jimmy Butler is amazing.
Yes, he is. He's a top 25 player.
Oh, easily. You win that argument.
That's what makes these guys top 25, is the lack of duds.
You're owning Jimmy Butler over Draymond Green, right? Ooh. Sophie's Choice. Did we look up what Sophie's Choice was?
I never looked it up.
Let's just never look it up and bring up that we've never looked it up every time.
Well, the whole point of yesterday was that we're not fact-checking anything. So.
Oh, that's the point. We'll just not fact-check for the rest of the podcast's life.
Okay, I'm down. It's going to make it much easier. It's close. They're basically both right at about top 25 players to me. I mean, you know, if we were re-ranking, they might go back-to-back. Yeah. So I think this is a little more based off of need.
I take Butler pretty he's not hugely ahead of Draymond, but you know I like the free throw percentage better, a little bit more points. Yep. I know Draymond gets a few more steals and blocks, but
yep. You're talking about points, free throw percent, field goal percent versus threes, blocks. That's probably about it. The rest are probably about even.
Is really Draymond Green that much better in threes?
I think he's about 1.5.
What's Butler at?
Am I supposed to fact check that? All right.
I'll fact check. I'm looking up Butler. Butler is at exactly a three a game.
Yeah. So Draymond's at 1.5.
So, I mean, I guess that's a little bit of an upgrade.
He's at 1.5 steals, blocks, and threes.
Yeah, he's Sean Marion from 2004.
Yeah. 12-8, 3.7 assists. Oh. I guess what makes Draymond so special to me is how we didn't see it coming. And Jimmy Butler. I mean, we can say we saw it coming last year, so I guess we have that going for us.
Yeah, well, we are high on both, and I say we saw Draymond coming, because we're the only ones top 100 on him. So.
Yeah, well, you look at our, like, 90-something rating, and I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing.
If we had him at 20th overall, I think people might have thrown,
people might have thrown
things at us.
Oh, no, every other site just shuts down and everyone just pays attention to us.
Yeah, maybe we should do ranks like that next year. DJ Augustine, 7th overall. DJ has a big game last night, 26-1-2. And hey, as we talked about yesterday, you know, they didn't flip-flop to him last night. They did flip-flop to him or two nights ago, they didn't go to him. Last night, they did. 9 for 16, hits 4 or 5 from deep. The Brandon Jennings sits down the down the stretch on the bench. A game. The Pistons are frustrating.
It was a completely even time here.
The Pistons are so frustrating because KCP leads them in minutes 2 nights ago and gets 17 and a half last night.
Man, they're treating him like he's Singler all of a sudden.
Yeah. Meeks gets a ton of minutes, but wasn't that great. Only hit 3 of 11. No rebounds, no steals, no blocks. 2 assists for Meeks. 11 points. I mean, that's fine.
Yeah, and in 30 minutes, I expect a whole lot more.
Yeah. Greg Monroe with the huge game. 27-18-6-0-1. Ties for the team lead in assists.
And 2 good percents. Yeah, it was a great game for him.
Yep.
Against a tough competition. I mean, you know, Dirk aside, going against Chandler isn't easy.
Another game where Monroe and Drummond combined for double-digit offensive rebounds.
Wow, Drummond didn't take a single free throw.
Yeah, good for him. Tyson Chandler should have played him a little harder.
And Dallas lost.
Yeah.
Maybe they go with a little hack of Drummond next time.
Yeah, that's a good point. Nothing with Dallas is too interesting. Rondo. Well,
Parsons doing Parsons-like things.
Yeah. It's good enough. 15-3-4-2-0 with 2 threes.
No turnovers.
No turnovers, yeah. Rondo has 7 turnovers and 6-6-8.
Wow. That is a single-digit effort. Pretty good single-digit effort, kind of, though.
Yeah, a quad double a flirt single-digit effort. And all those. All right, so let's go to Denver, where we watched Nurkic's first career start. It wasn't great, but then again, it wasn't bad. 8-4-3-1-2. Only shot 3 of 9. Did you see the alley-oop attempt?
Yeah,
that counted as a shot. That was. If you didn't see it, I linked it in today's article. He tried to throw up an alley-oop, and it was so short it went in the basket in this line drive, ugly thing.
Yeah, but and yeah, it would have if it was to Hickson, I think, who had absolutely no chance. Even if it was a perfect pass, he had no chance.
Yeah, it was a terrible pass.
When things are going well, things are going really well.
Yeah, still only shot 3 of 9, but I think Nurkic is still a must own in all leagues.
Yeah, absolutely. Gotta love the 3 assists.
Yeah,
lots of rainbows coming.
I don't think the 21.5 minutes. I think it's kind of an outlier. I think he's going to play much more than that.
Yeah, I think so too.
J.J. Hickson plays 30 minutes, so I don't know if that's going to keep happening.
It shouldn't. I'm looking at the offensive rebounds because that's what I see when I see Hickson in the game. I see other teams just grabbing the ball over top of him.
Yeah.
Vucevic had 3.
It was just...
But the problem is just Nurkic couldn't handle Vuce.
Yeah, I mean, it was just kind of a weird, slow, plodding game, and Denver had the lead most of the time.
You know, at eye level, Nurkic does things. We were texting during this game, and I told you there was a point where, like, he was in a pick and roll, and the point guard or whoever it was, the guard, blew by him and went for, I think it was Alfred, went by him and went for, like, a layup or something. And he was right there, pace for pace, with Alfred going to the basket from the three-point line. His speed, his footwork, it's special.
It is really impressive considering he's 20 years old.
Yeah, I mean, he's just playing off athleticism. I doubt he really knows too much about, you know, where he's supposed to be defensively and all that kind of stuff. Offensively, you constantly see him looking for people telling him where to go.
Yeah, his post-ups weren't great, but he's a smooth player. I like that he can hit free throws. I really like him. So
he's got lots of those little baby hooks around the basket.
Yep. Took a lot of those. On the other side of the ball, what the hell? Andrew Nicholson gets 21 minutes? Where'd this come from? He's played in 2 games since December 17th.
Yeah, and Fournier's minutes disappeared.
Yeah. Kylo Quinn still doesn't get a chance. That's been frustrating.
Fry is terrible.
Yeah. So Fry's terrible. You'd expect O'Quinn to get minutes, and no. They put in night-by-night DMP Nicholson to get 21 minutes. It was... Nicholson is... he's got the worst-looking flat-footed shot It's ridiculous.
3 for 4. That was amazing.
Yeah, I think that was just, I don't know.
Yeah, this is very fluky. I bet he doesn't get off the bench next time.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, Oladipo, another good game. I've talked about how I thought he was a big sell high. Goes 17-1-6-3-0. Somehow doesn't have a turnover. But, you know, the 6 assists are a high in the past, like, 10 games or so. And he said multi-steals almost every game lately. I think that's just completely floating his value. I don't really buy that to continue.
Really? I mean, steals were always kind of his thing.
Well, I mean, not big, a
big, not the big at selling this pace. Point for him, I thought, was the steals. And he's brought his field goal percent up this year. I mean, I think that's more of a recent thing. I see a lot of plus 50% recently.
He's got like 25 steals in the last 9 games, just quickly looking at it. I guess the steals are fine. I just really don't like that the assists aren't coming around, and I don't like that Elfrid Payton is, you know, Old Depot's turning into a pure 2.
And that's assist to turnover ratio is not good.
And that's what's derailing his value a little bit. I thought he'd play more combo guard with Payton, but Payton's kind of turning into the pure 1 and Oladipo the pure 2. But that's my concern.
I think he'll be fine eventually. I mean, he's shooting 40% from threes, but he's only making 1 a game. So I think eventually those numbers will go up. I think he'll turn into more of a 3-point specialist. With his slashing, I shouldn't say specialist. He'll take a lot more attempts eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in a dynasty, I think you undersold him.
I think I did too. And I mean, it doesn't help that I was hoping O'Quinn would play 25 minutes. I needed him to play just 25 minutes, and it's down to like 10.
Yeah, it's pretty surprising.
I mean, that's the frustrating thing. And I needed a big man, and I needed cap relief. And I got both of that, but didn't expect O'Quinn to be playing no minutes, you know? Yeah, and maybe really, that'll change, but whatever. I also was targeting a big man that can hit free throws, but whatever.
Yeah, it's hard to say. You really hope it comes around. Yeah. I mean, everybody hopes it comes around. He's so much better than Channing Frye.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's Tobias.
And also, Vucevic is really injury-prone, so maybe O'Quinn can get some center minutes at some point.
Prone... He's had some knocks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not worried about it. It's just, you know, and the REL in such a deep league, having a guy that would get minutes if one person gets hurt is still valuable.
Oh, yeah, happens all the time. And that's the difference between winning and losing, really.
Yeah.
Hitting right on enough backups.
Yep, that is for sure. That's what Cap's team was last year. He just hit on every single backup he drafted, and that made his team really good, but then it fell apart in the playoffs.
Yeah, for a big one for him was the Randy Foy.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we got to go quickly through the last 4 games here. I watched a lot of the Suns-Timberwolves, and man, that game was really entertaining. All 3 Suns point guards and Gerald Green have big games, so that was good to see that all those guys can coexist. Gerald Green was like, can't feel my face, heat check shooting. It was ridiculous. It was driving down the court and taking a 3-pointer with 2 people right in front of him. He hit a couple of them. It was pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, they are a perimeter-oriented team through and through.
Yep, but they do have some post with Alex Lynn. Another 5-block game. 5-plus blocks in 3 of 4 games.
Yep, that's big time.
It's pretty ridiculous.
And that's back-to-back games with over 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But he could very well be under next game.
Yeah, are you still with the Henson over Lynn?
I mean, Henson blocked 4 and less than in half the minutes.
Yeah. But everyone's healthy for Phoenix. Oh, and don't discount the Bucks getting Kenyon Martin. It's gonna mess up the minutes.
Yes, I put no faith in that mattering to anyone.
Yeah.
It'll matter to Jimmy O'Brien.
Yeah.
The one guy.
Poor Irishman, too. On the Timberwolves side of the ball, man, Andrew Wiggins is so good.
He really is. I wrote a little thing about it in my REL post.
I'll trade you for Andrew Wiggins. What do you want for him?
Did you see who I compared him to, though?
I'll remember when you tell me.
So I compared his rookie year so far, at least this stretch he's having, with both LeBron and Durant's rookie years.
Yeah. It's compared pretty equally, hasn't it?
Recently, Wiggins is playing better than both of those two his rookie year. Or combined three steals blocks plus field goal percent.
You want
big thing. He's shooting over 50% like regularly.
You want Serge Ibaka for him?
That's a completely reasonable offer, I think, at this point in a dynasty league.
Yeah, we'll talk more offline on that. But I'm blowing up my team. I hate it so much.
Yeah, I love me some Wiggins, though. That'll be a tough one. We'll think about it.
So, yeah, we got to go quick. Sorry. Mo Williams has an awesome game, 23, 3, and 11, but a steal and a block. Hit four threes, but did sprain his ankle late. We'll keep an eye on his status, but it might be a couple starts again for Zach LaVine if Williams is hurt.
Wasn't Rubio supposed to be back by now?
No. I mean, his original timetable was. It's another week or two. He looked good in loafers on the sideline. He was the first one up when Wiggins took the game-winning attempt and almost made it.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
He went to an NBA game dressed in loafers?
I think he was in loafers. I think he was in loafers without socks.
Oh, nice.
No, I'm no shoe expert, so I may be wrong there, but he looked pretty funny. All right, real quick, OKC, Serge Ibaka almost triple-doubles in blocks.
Yeah.
11, 10, and 8 blocks.
Yep. And the shooting is down, but the efficiency's back up.
Yep. Really nothing else too interesting in this game. I mean, the OKC superstars, especially Westbrook, shot really bad. Oh, Deion Waiters, his debut, 1 for 9. Ugh.
Yeah, they went 12 deep in a blowout.
Yeah, this game was kind of brutal to watch. I had it on for a little bit. Cousins played great. Collison played great. Really no big takeaways for the Kings, right?
Cousins was solid. 6 for 23 and 6 turnovers isn't very nice to us.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the Cousin-ish game. All right, so to the game that was the bane of my existence, as I put this morning, Klay Thompson had like 13 points and 1-3 at halftime. And then just went bonkers in the second half. Ends up with 44-2-1-1, hit 6 of 11 threes. And Ariel, I was up like 4 or 5 threes at like 11:30. And then Chris Paul and Klay Thompson hit another 10.
Nice.
So frustrating.
Yeah, that's why you have Klay. He does blow up from time to time.
Yeah.
I mean, he was leading the league in points.
That's true.
For a week.
So, definitely putting all the Thragnoff jabs I had for him to waste.
Not much to see on the Indiana side of the ball.
Yeah, Solomon Hill plays decent. Roy Hibbert has an ankle injury. Sounds like it's not serious, though. He downplayed it. Maybe he misses a game, gives LaVoy Allen a start.
Yeah, someone asked a question about Hibbert versus Nurkic, plus a bunch of other stuff and a keeper. There's a bunch of stuff going on. But if we just consider those two in a redraft, what are you thinking there?
In a redraft for next year?
No, for this year.
Oh, like right now?
Rest of this year. Hibbert, assuming he's okay, versus Nurkic.
I'll take Nurkic.
Oof. Yep.
It's close.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean,
I think he could very well outperform him this year.
Yeah, Hibbert's up and downs are just way too frustrating. And then wrapping up, we've got LA versus LA. This game was brutal. Did you see how bad Kobe Bryant did?
Yeah. I saw he only took like 10 or 12 shots. There you go, 12 shots.
2 of 12, 4, 8, 7 with 6 turnovers.
I mean, find a game that Kobe had more turnovers than points. Ugh. It might be a first.
Ugh, brutal. And then Chris Paul hits his 4 threes in the second half. I mean, you expect the 11 assists, but...
Right, you expect Chris Paul to just destroy whatever they put in point guard.
Yeah. Oh, did you see that Ronnie Price was out with fractured nose and the flu?
I know.
Oh!
He's got a runny nose, and he can't – if he blows his nose, he's going to mess with a broken nose.
Yeah, that's like having a stomach bug with a fractured tailbone. I mean
I feel for him.
Is that too far? It might be. Tariq Black makes his debut with the Lakers, goes 5-3 with 1-for-3 free throws.
How about George Clarkson? Think he could overtake Lynn?
Anyone could overtake Lynn, but I think it's more of...
Yeah.
I don't know, because Price will play fairly soon again.
Probably. They need to start thinking about developing Clarkson, I think, though.
It's such...
Personal opinion.
Such a mess there. Joining us on the Razzball Basketball Podcast is Andy Behrens from Yahoo, a name everyone is probably familiar with. I am saying that right. Behrens? Right.
Well, apparently we're not all familiar with it. If you can't even yeah, that is the correct.
Well, I've read the name multiple times, but you know, my inner monologue reads names wrong. I keep wanting to say Nurkic instead of Nurkic.
I know. I have tried to avoid his first name, which I assume is Yusuf.
Yeah.
But I don't like to mess around with names when I'm not sure. I prefer the nickname. He needs a nickname in the worst way.
We've had all sorts of nicknames. Today I called him Jamba Juice. what else have we had, Slim, for Yusuf?
I mean, O Juice is a good
one. Oh, yeah, Aljou for your French dip. Oh,
that's really good. We might have to stick with that. That might have to be the industry standard.
Yeah, comparing him with Rudy Gobert, you got your French dip and your Aljou. So those have been pretty fun.
Nice. I had an up close look at Rudy Gobert last night at the Bulls game. What a monster! What an absolute! I mean, I know you know he was great in FIBA. He's always good in small doses, but he was the best player on the floor for long stretches. That's crazy.
Yeah, were you at the Bulls game last night?
Yeah, that guy. I mean, I don't know his listed wingspan, but it's probably like 9'9" or something, right? he's insanely proportioned. Barely has to get off the ground for pretty emphatic dunks, you know, just a great rebounder. He was something. 30 minutes a game from that guy is going to be great all year.
Yeah, let's hope they ease Cantor back in off the bench and give Gobert a ton of minutes.
Let's hope he goes away. I'm tired of writing about him, thinking about him.
I'm tired of thinking about this guy. I hate his face.
Or they could just morph into one guy. One hybrid Cantor Gobert would be fine.
That's so funny you mentioned that, because we talked about something very similar about that earlier in the podcast. So how long have you been writing for fantasy? I mean, I don't want to age either of us too much, but I read you growing up in the fantasy, and you've been around for a while.
The first read you growing up I've ever had.
I'm a young guy. What can I say?
Wow, that felt like a moment. So. Let's think about this. I began freelance writing sports pretty much full time in like 2001, and wrote fantasy almost right away. For you know, when you start out, you just write for free as much as you can for anybody who will take you. So I was writing fantasy stuff and mainstream sports stuff, both locally in Chicago and for whatever national platform I could find. And you know, at the time. Gosh, I'm struggling to think what my first fantasy role would have been. It was probably, you know, Eric Carabel at ESPN used to have these like team correspondents, and I think I was one of those for like the Montreal Expos, and that was like my first little dip into any sort of fantasy writing. And then I quickly ended up writing some basketball stuff for SI and for NBA.com a while ago when they had a really weird game. Called the Pick One Challenge. I wrote content for that. That game obviously exploded in popularity. So I was writing for them fairly early and did some freelance hoop stuff for ESPN for a long time. And I've been with Yahoo since 07.
So
obviously you guys did not grow up playing the Pick One Challenge. No one did.
I don't even know what that is, to be honest.
So few. Well, you picked like one player in the NBA a night, and it was basically like a suicide pool of NBA players. Picked one guy a night, simplest possible scoring. You just got points, rebounds, and assists, 1 point for each, and you couldn't reuse a guy. And there were few people involved that I think I finished like in the top 10 overall or something.
It's hard to keep up with that. All year. So, as a Bulls fan, how excited are you for Jimmy Buckets? How awesome has he been?
So this is crazy. It's really insane because that's the, you know, if you could invent a player that all Bulls fans have wanted the team to acquire at any cost, right? It's been the scoring shooting guard compliment to Derrick Rose. And he's apparently he's been here all this time. Who knew, right? Like Jimmy's jump from last season to this is not. It's just not something you see, right? Like he was a bad offensive player by NBA standards last year. He's a very poor shooter. You know, he's always been a great on the ball defender, a great team defender, but he was kind of a one way player last year. And all of a sudden this year, you know, he can draw fouls like Russell Westbrook and he's shooting with absolute confidence. He's got that little, you know, extended post up game that is a little bit of, you know, I'm not comparing him to these players, but it's got the look of like Kobe Bryant. It's got that like end stage Michael Jordan deep post up game, and it's all worked. And we're so deep in the season now. What are we, 40% of the way through the season, that you can't really write it off as a fluke. I mean, he's a 20, 21, 22 per night guy right now. And the Bulls have just been starved for two-way players, I don't know, forever, basically, since the breakup of the title teams, right? It's been the challenge of Thibodeau's coaching career is that he has nothing but one-way players. He has either you're a great defender and you can't shoot, or you're a great shooter and you can't defend. He has nothing but those guys. And now all of a sudden he has this superstar of a two-way player in Jimmy. It's awesome. It's fantastic. And I'm well past the point of predicting that, you know, it's all going to end. I think it basically sustains unless he's hurt.
Yeah, we were debating earlier, Slim and I, would you rather have Jimmy Butler or Draymond Green on your team this year at this point?
Well, I mean, yeah, the nice thing is that you could have had them both, right? Because Green was like he was an endgame pick, at least in Yahoo leagues. He was like a, you know, 10th, 11th rounder in Yahoo. And honestly, I think it's Jimmy. Maybe not by a lot, maybe not by a ton. But I do think it's probably Jimmy, because I think the shots are going to continue to be there. The nice thing about all of the Bulls stars is that they really don't, you know, a couple of them like Noah doesn't even want shots, right? He doesn't need shots. In an ideal world, he wouldn't get shots. So it's not like it's a team full of selfish, gotta get 20 shots a game kind of players. I don't think Derek much cares if he scores. I don't think Powell really cares a whole lot if he gets numbers. So I just think stats are going to be there for Jimmy constantly. And the nice thing about him fantasy wise is that, you know, if you let Tibbs play him 48 minutes a night, he will. I mean, he played him once. I think he played him 48 minutes in a preseason game like 3 years ago. I mean, he just doesn't care. There's no expiration date on Jimmy Butler for him.
So whose poster is on the front of that Chicago building right now? Is it Jimmy Butler or is it Derrick Rose? I'm pretty sure it should be Jimmy Butler.
It's funny, last night, we're recording this on Thursday. We're coming off this like debacle of a loss to Utah on Wednesday night, and the only MVP chance while anybody was at the line last night were for Jimmy Butler. I mean, there is like a small Jimmy for MVP movement going on in the city right now. It's not like people are anti. I mean, Powell's been great. It's not like anybody's really anti Rose, although he's in a slump. But the MVP chants now are all of a sudden for Jimmy.
Are they bigger for Jimmy than they were for Brian Scalabrine?
Oh no, the crowd reaction for Scalabrine was a phenomenon. That was like, you know, that was closer to what this city's relationship was with Fridge back in like '85 than anything we've seen since then, I think.
Yeah. So we're playing each other in the Friends and Family League. Both of our teams have struggled, so we won't talk too much about it. You got the curse of the early week injury this week with Roy Hibbert going down. We had that happen so many times to us with this being a weekly league.
I mean, you can't complain that much when your early week injury is Roy Hibbert, right? If that's the injury that dooms me, then it was never meant to be.
Yeah, I think both of us are gonna struggle. I'm happy we got Nurkic, though. We're really excited to have him. I know you do some writing as well. How do you balance being a writer? What are you working on now with being a fantasy writer?
Yeah, so I've done just a handful of – I've had three published books for young readers, and that is a thing that has to happen after – NFL season, right? Like if it, you know, the grind of the NFL season and the content commitments are so heavy that you can't take a breath until week 16 is over. And I've got two solid months where I can produce some somewhat more thoughtful basketball content and some preseason baseball. And, you know, there's time for fiction. And then it all comes crashing down again when baseball season starts up in, you know, when we really get pushed for content in March and April. So I've got a couple months here where I can tinker around with some fiction. And, you know, I'm not the only person in the industry who does it. Chris Harris, ESPN's Chris Harris, basically always cranks out a novel, like a giant novel, in the couple months after football season. So there's a few of us.
You know, I was flipping around the other day. I think it was HBO or something. And I saw this movie. I think it was a Seth Green movie.
Yeah, yeah. He basically owes me his entire career, right? So, yeah, that was the first book I wrote for teens, for young readers, which was just something where, like, somebody approached me to maybe do a book. I'd been writing for ESPN at the time. That became the film Sex Drive, which really, like, the book is, you know, the book provided like a skeletal beginning for the movie. The movie was half, you know, improv basically by a really pretty funny cast. I mean, it was a cool party basically is what it ended up for me. I wasn't intimately involved in the production of the movie, but, you know, I did get to go to the premiere and the party at the end, which was kind of cool. And Seth Green was a riot, and Zach Duke was a riot too.
That's awesome.
And his little brother was a riot.
So, like, walk us through the process of you've written a book and then you get approached for the movie rights. How did that happen?
A lot of teen fiction, a lot of like young adult fiction, is actually written through these intermediary companies called book packagers. So somebody actually approached me with a very rough idea of a novel plot, and they were like, "Hey, would you be interested in writing this? Why don't you give us some sample chapters?" And I was like, "Sure." It was a point in my writing career where I would, you know, anybody offering to pay me anything, I was interested. And I wrote some samples for them, and they liked it. And from that point, it was like, "Okay, you have 60 days to finish it. Go." and you know, the nice thing about working with those guys was that they worked very hard. From even before there was a draft of the book completed, they were already working to try to sell film rights. So I didn't have to do a whole lot of that. Fortunately enough, I don't know what you'd do if you had an adult novel and you were on your own and trying to get a film rights sold. I'm not a good enough marketer to do that.
So have you ever, worn a Draymond Green jersey and, paraded around the office with your higher rank of them? I'm looking at, Fantasy Pros. We've actually had Justin on. He was the second highest ranker. We were the highest ranker on him. So we're the top three Draymond Green lovers. Have you ever, you know, gone by Brad Evans' desk and waved around a Warriors towel, hit him in the head a little bit with it?
You have to get past security in order to approach Brad Evans. He's not a guy that you can just walk up to. I mean, that's, you're talking about a titan in the industry. He and Marissa are basically like 1 and 1A in terms of running this company. So I don't have that kind of access to Brad. Give him a break. But yeah, I thought, you know, Draymond, like at every point in his pro career, like coming into this season, I thought he was a fairly obvious. I didn't think it'd be like this, right? I didn't think he'd have exactly this value. But just as an across-the-board fantasy asset, a guy who clearly was going to get minutes and was clearly going to be able to help you basically everywhere, just a really nice way to finish off a fantasy roster. But I can't, you know, I still can't believe where he went in the draft. He was a second rounder, right? And like maybe a mid-second rounder.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a joke. He was ready to be a pro his final season at State, and I thought it was pretty obvious. And I'm sure that's one of those, like, maybe the league thought he stayed too long and they just had too good a read on the player he was, so they were more interested in upside. I mean, that happens all the time. We do it in fantasy. Teams do it in reality. But I'm still floored that, like, the Bulls didn't end up with him. That might have been the draft where the Bulls ended up with Marcus Teague, who was a comedy, right? And Draymond Green was obviously very good. So I can't believe he fell.
And that's the same draft where Anthony Bennett goes number one, and I'm sure they would have been much happier with Draymond Green.
Right. I mean, you didn't even have to give him guaranteed money. That's insane.
Yeah. So thanks again for joining the podcast with us. How can we follow you on Twitter?
Oh, you can just follow me at Andy Behrens. That would be appreciated. There'll be a handful of NBA tweets, and you know, the off season in football is maybe a downtime for me. But you can ask me questions anytime. I'm on there all the. I'm on there 24/7, basically.
Cool. Are you working on a book right now that you can tell us anything about, or is it all lock and key?
I'm tinkering, but not not with anything that I'm particularly happy with yet.
Gotcha. So yeah, follow Andy Behrens on Twitter, Andy Behrens, B-E-H-R-E-N-S. And we really appreciate you having on. And like I said, you're a name I remember reading back in when I was starting fantasy in the middle of high school, back before it was really blowing up.
I appreciate that. I appreciate you guys having me a lot. We're big fans of Razzball.
Cool. Really appreciate that, man. Take it easy. Have a good day.
Thanks. Later, guys.
All right. Thanks.
All right, looking at tonight's games, there's only three on the slate. We've got Charlotte at Toronto, Houston at New York, and Miami at Portland. Wes Matthews might be out, so keep an eye on that. Even though it's a light slate, though, so it's not like he's coming out of your lineup with a full team. Who are some ideas for some streamers you like tonight?
Well, if he's out, you got to love Blake.
Yeah.
I really want to see what Hassan Whiteside can do.
It's a big game for him. This is the first Miami game in a while, right?
Yeah, they haven't played since, I think, last Sunday. They only got two games this week.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm really interested to see what Whiteside does. I'll probably wind up, wait, let me see, 10:30. Never mind, I won't be watching that one. But, yeah, I'll be interested to see how that looks the next day.
I'll text you every time Whiteside does something good. Be sure to leave your phone on tonight while you sleep.
Yeah, I'll be sure. I'll keep it right under my pillow.
And yeah, Portland has no Freeland or no Robin Lopez, so Whiteside's got a chance to get some blocks.
Yeah, if he goes against Kamen, then he absolutely should.
Yep. I wrote today that, and maybe this is just wishful thinking for my teams, I really like Patrick Patterson, but going against Charlotte with a bunch of stretch fours, I could see Patterson breaking out of his slump a little bit.
Yeah, that's completely possible.
And then you got to love your Houston bench players at New York. That's why Corey Brewer.
You picked Corey Brewer as a streamer.
Yeah, that was an easy call. So.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that one.
And he was out there in I think both RCLs. I think maybe I only picked him up in one. I don't really remember. But I think he's going to get three steals and play almost 30 minutes and some junk time minutes.
Yep, and his junk time minutes, well, he hasn't only been playing junk time, but his minutes have been really good. Like, his permanent production with Houston is off the charts.
Yeah, he has been awesome. All right, so looking at the top 10 scorers before we make our 30-point challenge picks, we got Harden, Westbrook, LeBron, Durant, Anthony Davis, Melo. You can take Melo if you want tonight. I'm going to make that joke every time. DeMarcus Cousins, Aldridge, Kobe, and Wade. So we can't pick Wade or Aldridge or Melo. Or Harden. What's that?
Is Aldridge back yet?
I'm not sure. Fact check. Where's the fact check? We need a fact check soundbite. I'll look it up. So you make your 30-point challenge pick first.
Yep, he's only missed a couple of games. He's been playing the past three.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, he had I think it was just like upper respiratory thing or something.
Yeah, but man, Lillard's just been on fire. I'll take Lillard.
Yeah, I've taken Lillard a few times, so enjoy that. Man, that makes it really hard to pick anyone. I will go with Kemba Walker's had three straight.
That's what I was thinking.
But I'm gonna go the other side of the ball. I'm gonna go Lowry.
Ooh, okay.
So, those are our picks for tonight. Be sure to get your streamers in if you play in a daily moves Able League, and be sure to set your lineups there. And wrapping up our week at the movie theaters, I actually did see Hunger Games with the lady. She wanted to see it. It was okay.
Was Woody as good as we hope?
I was just happy he was in it. I don't know anything about the books. So Woody was fine. He was all mad because he couldn't drink anymore.
Aww. No, I don't care.
I know you don't.
I have no desire to see that movie. And I've seen the other two, and I still don't want to see it.
Yeah, you're not missing too much. It had a pretty creepy ending, though, so a little darkish ending.
I imagine the movie I saw was probably better.
What's that?
Birdman.
I do really... That's Chris Anderson's documentary, right?
Yes, it was about the life and times of getting tattooed.
I do want to see that. I heard great things. I really like that director, Inarritu or something like that.
It is so funny. And Ed Norton's character is just hilarious.
I love Edward Norton.
I definitely see why it's getting some Oscar buzz. And I think his character was probably a little better than, what's his name? Keaton, Michael Keaton.
Yeah. Isn't it kind of tongue-in-cheek about Batman?
Yeah, he has this Batman voice that's pretty funny.
Well, that's interesting.
It's a lot more than just Batman. It's about everything. You know, there's like one-liners about Iron Man. There's a lot of really funny. It's about Hollywood.
Those movies are usually pretty good. I really liked Get Shorty. I mean, I know that's an older movie, but it was the same idea.
Yeah, similar.
Coming out this week, oh, I know you're really excited to see Taken 3.
Did I see the second?
I didn't
either. I did see the second, actually.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I didn't really like the first one, to be honest. I mean, it was fine. But
I mean, you know, the first time I saw it, I thought the plot was pretty good and somewhat believable.
Mm-hmm.
So it had that going for it. And, you know, the scene at the end when she's, you know, showing off, that kind of made the movie.
Yeah. I just thought it was very formulaic, in my opinion.
Oh, well, I don't understand why he's even an action star, to tell you the truth.
Because Liam Neeson can do anything. Have you seen those Key and Peele's where they're like, Liam Neeson? Those are pretty funny.
No, I really... Every time I see a little piece of it, it gets me.
Yeah. I'm kind of interested to see Inherent Vice, just because I really like Paul Thomas Anderson, but it looks like kind of a weird movie.
Yeah, I mean, you got the Phoenix.
Joaquin.
Not River.
Yeah.
The other Phoenix. The not-so-good Phoenix, in my humble opinion.
The not-so-good Phoenix?
He's no River.
Yeah, well, that's just sad. Way to just end the show on such a low note.
Well, then go watch one of his movies. Go watch Indiana Jones.
That's what I was going to say. Last Crusade. Yeah.
He's in there for like 2 minutes.
Yeah, whatever. It's the open of the movie. It's the most important part.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to end the show there. Thanks again for everyone tuning in. Thanks to our Fantasy Sports Network listeners. Thanks again to Andy Behrens. Awesome to have him on. We are really happy to talk to him. And we will catch you next week, man. Have a good one.
All right, talk to you soon.
Go Panthers! Woo!
All right.